Shall we pray? Father God, we thank you for your word this morning, oh God. Thank you, Lord, even for this morning. We dedicate ourselves afresh to you, that, Lord, you would speak to us, even through your word. Thank you, Lord, even as the word will be spoken in clarity, it will touch the hearts of people and indeed minister and do what you want it to do in the hearts of the people this morning. We give you thanks and we give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Can you all hear me?
Yes.
Praise God. First of all, I'd like to say thank you all for coming this morning. If you notice, my family is not here. They heard I was preaching, so they decided they were not going to come to church. No, that's not true. That's a joke. Well, my family, my two girls are taking part in the state relay championships this morning. That's why they can't be here. And I just got a message not too long ago that one of them actually won a bronze medal. So praise God for that. So they're the third best in the state, which is quite good. And I think Sister Ruth's kids are taking part as well. I don't know, we Africans have something to do with our legs. Even me. Yeah, whatever. Okay. Amen. We're doing it for God. Praise God. So this morning, I'm just going to share a short message. You know, Pastor over the last few weeks has been preaching on the book of Revelation, and he himself said that that was solid food. I mean, even the writer of Revelation, I think it was John, it was in the spirit, was caught up in the spirit to write the book of Revelation and to receive all those things that he received from God. And you know, I remember somebody saying that to understand the book of Revelation, you need to be in the spirit as well. And thank God for Pastor Philip to preach all those sermons on the book of Revelation. Look, it's the gospel as we know it in the word of God. So every part of it has to be preached. Amen? Now, today, I'm not going to preach on Revelation. Pastor gave you all the solid food all over, I mean, throughout the rest of the week, 6-7 weeks of that. Today, it's dessert. Amen? Very simple, very straightforward. I'm not saying Pastor's message is not simple, but, I mean, you won't even need notes for this one because it's just going to be a simple message. Praise God. Amen? Now, since the beginning of this year, I've been running my own IT business full-time. And, you know, this is the Christmas season, so I just thought, okay, I have a few clients who engage me on a monthly contract, as in their full-time. Whether anything goes wrong in their offices or not, they pay me a certain fee every month. So I decided for this Christmas, I should probably get each of them a little hamper, something that I can present to them as everybody else does. The clients will always get gifts from their suppliers or their contractors. So I went to the shopping center. I went to the one down south, Carousel Shopping Center. I drove around that shopping center on a Monday afternoon about 2 p.m. and I could not even find a car park spot. The place was full up with people shopping everywhere. The whole place was crowded. I couldn't believe it. On a Monday afternoon at 2 p.m. And, you know, it got me thinking that, wow, this is interesting. People are really very, very serious about shopping for Christmas and buying gifts and all that. And, you know, I was walking through the store just thinking, okay, what should I get? What would they really appreciate? I ended up getting a box of chocolates for all of them. And then, of course, it was something I thought all the staff members can share in. And if it's just a little chocolate, it goes a long way. Very cheap, small little box I got for about 4 or 5 of them. And I bought that. Then I was looking for a card that would have the true sayings of Christmas. One that would have peace on earth, goodwill to all men. And even the picture on in front of it would be like the nativity. And of course, I went to one of the popular departmental stores. And I couldn't find easily. I found one eventually, but I couldn't find one easily. All of them had Christmas trees and Santa Claus and everything that I don't believe is the true story of Christmas. Amen. So I eventually found one and I bought that card. And you know, it just got me thinking while I was having lunch, even at that shop, like that, do people really know the true meaning of Christmas? Do people realize the real story behind Christmas? And you know, I'm not here to tell you something you don't know, but I'm just here to reinforce what we believe as children of God about Christmas. You know, and then I was doing some research about how much people are spending in Australia, for example. in this month of Christmas. And I read on the internet. I actually read it yesterday, and I thought I saw $6.7 billion is going to be spent. But I was wrong. That was just the first week of December. It's projected that we're going to spend $32.6 billion in Christmas, or during this Christmas month. The average family, they say, is going to spend about $700 on gifts, on food, on alcohol, on all sorts of things for their families. It's also projected that the average person will put on between 0.8 kilos to 1.5 kilograms during Christmas. Now I have somebody to blame. No, just joking. But you see, all these statistics about Christmas, and you know, I kept asking myself, do people really know what Christmas is about? And you know, you do all sorts of research to find out what is Christmas about, and they tell you St. Nicholas and Santa Claus and giving gifts and all that. And you and I know the message of Christmas is the message of Jesus. Amen? And that is the message we must preach. Now, I'm saying this, and I guess when we get to the end of this sermon, then you know why I'm reinforcing this. About 3 years ago, I was involved. There's a church down south that I know a few people there. They were having a Christmas drama program for their children's church. So they asked me and my wife to come and help them. I think I was playing the drums or something. It was an evening service. It was going to be on a Sunday during the Christmas period. And, you know, the drama had in it two boys who were having a dialogue. One was saying, excuse me, one was saying that Christmas is about Santa Claus and giving gifts and he comes through a chimney. And the other one was saying, no, Christmas is about Jesus Christ, the Son of God who came down to us. And then, you know, they were having that, like, dialogue, like an argument thing to really get across the message of Christmas. And I went for, I think it was about 3 or 4 rehearsals with them, and that kept on going on, back and forth, that dialogue thing. And it was part of the drama, and I thought it was very, very powerful. They were going to have the Christmas production at a lake near, I think it was Champions Lakes, in near Armadale area. Normally they have about 1,000 to 1,500 people attend that event. So it's a perfect place for evangelism as a church. So that dialogue was going on that, no, the true story of Christmas is this. And the guy was saying, no, it's Santa Claus. Beautiful script. Now, on the day that they had the dress rehearsal, the pastor came in and said he wanted to see what they were presenting and all that. And, you know, he sat down there and then he listened to that dialogue. And then the minute he heard that, he stood up and told the lead Sunday school teacher that, no, you can't say that. People are going to get very disappointed with the message of Christmas. A lot of families believe that Christmas is about Santa Claus. You can't get that other kid changing what they believe to say that it's about Jesus Christ. I thought, what? How dare you as the pastor get up and say that? Not Pastor Philip, okay? How dare you as the pastor come up and say that? And you know, these little children, Sunday school children who know so well that Christmas is about Jesus, the birth of Jesus Christ. They now had to contend. The guy actually told them they should shorten the script so that instead of having the 7 dialogues, they should have only about 4, and they should water it down, and, you know, the guy shouldn't. And I thought, my goodness, thank God I was never called back to that church again to go and help them. But I just thought it was a bit disappointing that even the church cannot, I mean, the chance you have to profess that gospel that we so believe in, he missed it. That guy absolutely missed it. And he was, no, you know, there'll be lots of kids there and they're going to have very airy-fairy views about Christmas and we don't want to be so direct. We don't want to hurt their feelings. And I'm like, my goodness, we're living in a world of deceit. We tell kids, oh, it's Santa that's going to want to give you a gift. All the kids are not here anyway. So if all of you haven't told your kids, I think tonight you go back home and tell them that Santa doesn't exist. Amen. Jesus came down to us. Love came down at Christmas time. I mean, you know, that's one thing that we tell our family a lot. And we've told them ever since they were young that if you get a Christmas present, it's from your mom and dad. And I think kids would probably appreciate that better. If you tell them the Christmas present they're getting is from you. I mean, it gives you more brownie points. And they think, oh, my dad is really cool. You know, I told him what I wanted and he got it for me. It makes sense that way. Rather than say some big guy with white beard and all that comes down a chimney, and we don't even have chimneys in most of our houses anyway. And you know, it's been so commercialized. Christmas has been so commercialized, it's not even funny. I remember even Abim was telling me this, even just recently. He was in his class. Abim is my little son. He was in his class in school. And, you know, the teacher was going on and on about, oh, if you're naughty, you're not going to get any present for Father Christmas. But if you're nice, you're going to get power. And he just said, oh, but Santa is not real. Oh. You wouldn't believe, the teacher actually told him, can you please see me after the class outside? And he told him, don't you say that. I'm like, my goodness, the innocent boy knows what he knows about Christmas. And he was just simply saying, look, you guys don't believe anything he's saying. Jesus is the reason for Christmas. But she wouldn't have any of that. We believe in deceiving people, in giving them stuff that is not real. And you know, looking at people shopping for gifts, I ask myself, how many of them really go to church? How many of them really experience the reason for Christmas, the birth of Jesus Christ, when he came down to earth to dwell with us? Amen. I can't tell you the answer. I don't know how many of them believe that. But people, oh my goodness, they're out spending lots of money. Can you imagine how much? I mean, $32.6 billion is more than the budget for some countries in the world. But we spend it in 1 month just buying gifts. Gifts that, I mean, if you ask me, what did I get for Christmas last year? I can't remember. Maybe I didn't get anything. Praise God. But you know, it's. I'm not saying you shouldn't buy gifts. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying there's no place for showing love and for showing the love of God during Christmas. But we should always remember the greatest gift of all in Jesus came down at Christmas. Amen. Now, can we just turn quickly to Isaiah chapter 9? And we'll just read this portion of scripture. And I'm just going to go through it quickly. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6-7. If you're there, say amen. 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 So, reading from verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice. From that time forward, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Amen. And, you know, just very quickly, we're just going to go through Genesis 2 verses. It says here that, for unto us a child is born. Amen. That is where, for me, Christmas started. He came as a baby in a manger. I mean, people will say, maybe that's one of the reasons why people find it very hard to believe and understand that Jesus came as our Savior, because he was born in a manger, not in some 6-star hospital, not like Fiona Stanley, the brightest, newest hospital that we have in Australia, but in a manger where you have animals feeding and stuff like that. I mean, they couldn't even book a hotel or book an inn. They didn't have the internet back in those days, or mobile phones or whatever. So there was no way they could assure themselves that he was going to get a place to lay his head, even when he arrived here in the world. But he was born in a manger. As a baby, he walked where we walked. He went through the same human experiences that we went through. Unto us a child is born. Amen. Then the next one says, unto us a son is given. To me, that's the greatest gift of all. Our Savior Jesus Christ coming down to earth as a baby, born in a manger, and growing up to be a man, to whom God said, this is my son, my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. Amen. And I tell you, the minute he came down to earth, nothing has been the same ever since then. Praise God. the Son of the Father himself came to us. The Son of the Most High God. I mean, we know that we believe in the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And the Son came as a baby in the flesh to be the greatest gift of all. And I don't know, I guess for me, that's just sitting down and reflecting on Christmas. To me, that settles it for me. And you know, of course, after Christmas, then we have Easter celebrations where he hung on that cross. I mean, that's where his whole time here, it was then signed and sealed. He paid the price for us, the ultimate sacrifice, by hanging on that cross and dying for us. Amen? And that is where our hope, our faith, our peace, our joy is all anchored on. The birth, the death, the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he goes on to say that the government will be upon his shoulder. The government will be upon his shoulder. I mean, the best way I can explain it this way. His God's government, his kingdom is the best government ever. You know, in the world we live in today, we have elections. We all, well, whatever your political persuasions are, you vote for this person and that person gets into power and you think, yeah, he's the one that's going to solve all the problems we have. And guess what? He doesn't. Sometimes he even creates more problems. I mean, we've had people think this party is going to solve all the problems, and then they vote for that party, and then those guys mess it up, and then they vote for the next party, and that one messes up. But how many of you know that the government that is the surest government is the government of Jesus in his kingdom? Amen. His government is the best ever. I can assure you, it's the only party you can vote for that you'd never be disappointed. Amen. And it goes on to say, he's wonderful. You know, to describe that word wonderful, I went to consult my dictionary, and the dictionary defines wonderful as inspiring delight. It's pleasurable, something that warrants admiration, something that is extremely good, something that is marvelous, something that is astonishing. And I like this one, something that is awesome. You know, sometimes my kids do this, my girls especially. I don't know what it is with ladies and girls. They see a nice shoe. Oh, awesome. No. God is awesome. You haven't seen awesome yet. Not in the shoe, for crying out loud. Come on, ladies. God is awesome. Amen. He is wonderful. I mean, sometimes, you know, you travel to different parts of the world, even here in Western Australia, and you see some of the sights and scenery, you know, things that God has created with his own hand. And you're like, wow, how did you do that? I mean, sometimes, you know, like where we stay down south, you will see rainbows, like two of them. And full colored rainbows, as in all the seven colors. And you're like, how did he do that? I mean, I didn't see anybody come with a paintbrush and just do that. But that's just God in his awesomeness, in his wonder. And you know, Jesus in his wonder also. I mean, that's what Prophet Isaiah was predicting, was prophesying here, that he was wonderful. He was going to be wonderful. We're going to see things here on earth that we had never seen before. And then he went on to say, he is our counselor. A counselor is a helper, an advisor, an encourager, someone who guides you, someone who supports you. And if you want to even look at it in a legal sense, it's someone who defends you. That is the counselor. And we know through the person of the Holy Spirit, even the Lord Jesus himself said that he was going to leave with us a counselor, a comforter, someone to guide us, to guard us, to show us the way. And I tell you, we need to be in tune with the Holy Spirit, to always tap into what he has for us, day in, day out. Day in, day out. Just seeking the Lord's face and saying, Holy Spirit, lead me. Holy Spirit, guide me. Holy Spirit, empower me. I mean, while I was driving all the way here alone in the car, I was like, God, please help me to preach this sermon. I need you, Holy Spirit. Amen. Praise God. Now, he goes on to say, mighty God. I mean, do I need to explain what mighty means? Mighty. I like what Pastor Irene said this morning. Big. If you think I'm big, oh, gosh. You ain't seen nothing yet when you see God. No, true. I mean, laugh all you want. God is huge, bigger than anything you can. I mean, it says that the earth is his footstool. He puts it's like a little soccer ball. You put your leg on it, and that's the earth that we're all going crazy and going mad about, is the Lord's footstool. That's how mighty he is. He's bigger than anything we could ever fathom. I mean, and probably that's even the problem with us, as Christians, that we cannot fathom how big he is. We can't fathom his might. We can't fathom his greatness. I mean, because we were not there when he said, and let there be light. And bang, there was light. Because we were not there, we cannot fathom the greatness of God. But if you can just pause for a minute and just try to think about everything that the Word of God tells us about our mighty God, that he is mighty. He's huge. He's great. Amen. Then he goes on to say, Everlasting Father. This one, I mean, we all know what the roles of fathers are in the home. Fathers always provide. They always protect. They always give advice. They always fix things when things break and they can remember. They always discipline sometimes. But just think of God as your everlasting Father. You know, I remember somebody who was joking with me the other day. Well, this was about 4 or 5 years ago. When, you know, we say this prayer, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And talking about father. So when my father passed away, this was 5 years ago, this person said, oh, next time when you're going to pray the Lord's Prayer, you have to be careful which father you're referring to. Because my father, of course, was a Christian and he went to heaven. So he says, when you say father, and I'm like, look, there's no question which father I'm praying to. I know the one true father that I have always relied on. You know, even when I lost my earthly father, I knew I had a father in heaven already who I could depend on, who was going to always be there for me, and who was going to be protecting, providing, guiding, guarding. And he hasn't failed me, and he never will. Praise God. And he goes on to say, he is the Prince of Peace. And that to me is probably one of the greatest things that the world needs today, is that peace of God. I mean, you hear of all sorts of crazy things, people doing really silly things, and we need the peace of God. And true peace only comes through Jesus Christ. And I think I've shared this before, that before I got saved, I was always scared that something was going to happen to me and I would not make heaven, and you know, it would just be, I mean, my brother and my sister were preaching the gospel to me, and I was like, no, I'm not ready for this. No, I'm not ready. But inside of me, in the innermost parts of my being, I always had this fear that, oh my goodness, if I don't make this decision, my life is going to be in ruins. And, you know, the first thing I noticed when I accepted Jesus Christ and I said the sinner's prayer, the first thing I noticed was that peace. Bang. That fear just boom, gone. Absolutely gone. And it was that peace just came. And it's, I mean, you have this, sometimes you feel like you're invincible. You can walk through anything. You can do anything because you know you've got the Prince of Peace on your side. Even when the Bible says that 1,000 fall on your left and 1,000 on your right, you're still steadfast, immovable, unshakable, because you know who you trust in. And he goes on to say, and of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end, from everlasting to everlasting. Like Pastor was sharing in our readings in the book of Revelation, for everlasting to everlasting. We're going to have, I mean, this is the time we need to seek him while he can still be found, because later on it may be too late. Because his kingdom has no end. And it would be a mistake not to serve him, not to follow after him, to be a child who is marked by the blood of Jesus in this day and age, because eternity will be doomed. I can't say it any easier than that. And even as I say that to everybody in this room, I'm speaking to myself to continue to remind myself, never ever fall away from the truth of the gospel of Jesus. And then it goes on to say that upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice. That's all what Pastor was preaching out from Revelation as well. The judgment of God is coming. His justice is pure. His justice is the right justice. Whatever he says is final. I'm telling you, on that judgment day, you can't hire any Queen's Counsel or lawyer or whatever they call them to defend you in that day. If you're not standing and saying, well, Jesus is my Savior. And like we all know, we hide behind the cross. We say, because of what he has done on that cross, I can come to God and say, have mercy. And if we don't have that, if we don't have that assurance and that knowing, then it's going to be almost eternal condemnation. And I pray in the name of Jesus, nobody in this room would ever have to go through that. Amen? Praise God. Now, we've gone through just these two simple verses, pretty straightforward. They speak for themselves. The last one says, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. The zeal. He will do it. Whatever he's promised. Like Brother Martin was saying this morning, that his promises are yes and amen. He will do it. Whatever he's promised in his word, he will do it. You know, I always tell myself, whenever I don't get answers to prayers, it's always my fault. It can't be his fault. Either that I'm asking amiss, or I'm asking for the wrong things, or I'm not being patient to listen to his response. That's the way I take it, because I just believe him at his word that he is faithful. Amen. Now, after all that I've said, after going through, just reminding us of what our Christmas is about. I know a lot of companies and offices are planning Christmas gatherings, and people come around. Some people even call it the silly season. Why they call it that, I don't know. And they, of course, eat more and then drink and say silly things. But we as Christians, wherever we find ourselves in this next few weeks, I pray that will be the message of the gospel of Jesus. I don't know how. I can't tell you the formula on how you start a conversation with somebody to say, look, do you know Christmas is really about Jesus Christ? But whatever avenue that the Lord, through the Holy Spirit, drops into your heart, I pray we'll take the opportunity to share the peace and the joy of Christmas. Let's be bold about it. Let's not be ashamed of this gospel. Amen. Let us not deny him before men. Let us declare him in front of our family members. Family members that may laugh at you and say, oh, there he comes again, the holy roller. Oh, that guy. Ah, why aren't you wearing your robe today, preacher man? Those kind of sarcasms and stuff like that you may come across. But just be firm. Share the good news. Share the real reason for Christmas. And it's a good time for us to even as Christians, take stock. I know this message sounds like a Christmas morning message, but I just feel it's just bringing back the message to us to remember what it's all about. To remember why we do what we do, even as Christians, even as a church. And, for some of you, you're going to be invited to family gatherings and you're going to be exchanging gifts and receiving presents and all that. You're going to be all happy and excited. Oh, I got this thing that I wanted and da 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 da. Praise God for you. And for some of us who just sit at home and say, nobody's giving me anything. No, I don't mope like that. Thank God. I always tell myself, I've got everything I need in Jesus. Everything that I'll ever need. Jesus, you're all I need. Everything. And it'd be a good time to just, if you get invited to family gatherings or social gatherings, by all means go and be the light of the world at those gatherings. But if you don't get invited, just be at the same place where you just say, God, I thank you that I have got you in my life. You are all I need. You're more than enough. Like the song we sang this morning, that I believe that you're more than enough for me. Even the first line that says, I believe you are my portion. What more can we ask? The greatest gift of all. The greatest gift of all is Jesus. I look back on even what we do as human beings. And this morning, Brother Peter probably he's funny. He was showing me his old phone, and he was telling me somebody got him a new mobile phone, and he's got a touch screen, blah, blah, blah. He was showing me the old one, though. And I thought to myself, yeah, that's true. People get all excited when they get the latest gadget, and they're like, oh, you can do this, you can do that, you can do this, you can do that. And then 2 years down the road, another new gadget comes. And then you're like, oh, I've got this gadget. And we just go from gadget to gadget to gadget to gadget. Look, I'm a gadget man. I have to recommend to my clients and show them how to use it and all that. But I try not to be won over by the gadget craze and, you know, everybody's lining up to go and get the new Fruit Phone 6 or whatever it is, you know. And people go crazy about all these things. But these things in themselves don't fulfill. They don't give us the fulfillment. The greatest gift of all, the greatest person that we could ever have and need in our lives is Jesus. Amen. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Amen. Even as we just I round up now, and I just say, let's just pray that this will ring true in our hearts and in our minds about the true meaning of Christmas. Even it could be loved ones that don't know the Lord yet, who have not accepted him yet. They're absolutely, I mean, God is the last thing in their minds and in their hearts. Let's take this time to just reach out to them. Let's take this time to just, it could mean that you spend time just praying for them. Or you see them at your social gatherings and you just ask them, is everything okay with you? Are you fine? Is everything good? Anything you want me to pray for? Is there anything you want me to believe God with you for? You know, you could reach out in all sorts of ways. And let them see the true meaning of Christmas. You know, in our world today, there's so much chaos. I mean, like in the U.S., for instance, there's all this civil unrest about, I think it was a Caucasian policeman shooting a black guy unlawfully and all that nonsense. But they fail to even see that even within the black community in the U.S., statistics have shown over the years only about 100 blacks have been shot by police, but more than 15,000 blacks have been shot by other blacks. So, you know, there's all these gangs and there's all this chaos in the world. I mean, you know, we have crazy people here, even in Australia, who go and attack a 72-year-old man in his home. I mean, just somebody just living life on his own and you go and start pushing him around. Silly things that people are doing all over the place. And that is not the peace that was promised to us at Christmas. That is not the joy. That was not the wonder that was promised to us at Christmas. So even as we reflect on this, let us all just remember that it's all about him. It's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. He's the reason for the season. I mean, we're in Australia. We don't have bobsleighs. We don't have snow. We don't have what people coming with bells and reindeer on. We don't have all that. We have Jesus, praise God. And that is what the focus of our Christmas should be. Amen. Praise God.